Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
What's up? Welcome to episode number 343 of On the Corner, the official PetrolList.com podcast. I'm your host, Alex Fast, joined, as always, by the very dark Nick Pollock. Nick, how you doing?
What is happening? That is not from my mental state. That is, no, is it because I
can't barely even see it? Turn the light on. I want to see my number one handsy boy.
It's just blinding. I have to go through all these
and
days
you're
with
out
the
of
light
focus.
On.
You're out of focus, too. I can't
right, how's
see
this? You good?
Put your hand, do the thing where you put your hand out so I can see your pretty
no,
face.
No, you got
totally
it. Anyway,
focused.
Hi, guys. This is
I
the other corner
boy.
And last week, I was in Maine, and I did it on my own, and it was with my MacBook laptop audio, and my cable was broken for the Blue Yeti. I was really upset about it. But we've got beautiful audio, and more importantly, we have the beautiful Alex Fast back.
Happy to be back. Decided to fly into a hurricane last Tuesday. Because we were supposed to fly Wednesday. As I told my coworkers, I needed to fly into a hurricane so I could be a flower girl at a Disney wedding. And here I am. The wedding is on Thursday. I've got my floral suit all planned out. I have a lovely sickness from my five-month-old daughter. But that doesn't matter. I'm ready to party. The playoffs are about to start. The people who are listening to this, you're the real sick baseball fans. We think we're crazy. You guys are listening to a podcast where at this point there are two more days of games left, but you're trying to get that final edge. You're trying to get that final edge, win those roto leagues, because all the other leagues are donezo. You're trying to win those roto leagues right now, and hopefully we're able to provide you with a little bit of help. But before we begin, Nick, I noticed something interesting that I wanted to get your two cents on, because this is not a pitcher who is going to pitch in the next 2 days. So we're not going to be able to talk about him. And it's Luis Castillo. Okay. Sure. Luis Castillo had an interesting meeting today where someone brought up his numbers about his slider. Okay. So Luis Castillo's
so good this year.
Well, no, it hasn't. So the swinging, in terms of one metric, the swinging strike rate on his slider in Cincinnati on about 300 thrown was 12%. Okay. The swinging strike rate on his slider in Seattle with 249 thrown, so 50 fewer, is 25%.
Wow.
More than double. And I cannot, for the life of me, and I've only started researching this for like 10 minutes, but I can't figure out why. It's not a change on the mound. It's not really a change in utilization. It's not a change in release point. It's not a change necessarily in velocity. It's kind of baffling to me. I don't know if it's just – if you could say it's too small of a sample size to really be impactful, but if we're talking about 50 pitches fewer between the two, it seems like there should be a – it can't just be a change in division. It's not like he's necessarily going to an easier division going from the NL Central to the AL West. So I don't know. Do you have any potential insight as to what Luis – kind of putting you on the spot here for a very specific thing.
Well, no, it's all good. I will say that slider has saved Luis Castillo considering the changeup has turned into a 14% swing strike rate pitch this year. If you're thinking to yourself, wait a second, is that a really kind of strange? Doesn't Luis Castillo have a really good changeup? Yeah, 2018, 2019, 2020, not a single season under a 24% swing strike rate on that changeup. Right? This was known as the changeup in the majors. 40% CSW on it in 2018, 33% in 2019. CSW this year, 22%. Luis Castillo's changeup insane. So that slider has been a major impact for him. He's used it more. It's been excellent. I think there are two things that could be at play here. One, I think Luis Castillo is leaning more into four seamers. And I think for whatever reason, that consistency with four seamer is changing how he releases the slider. That could be one aspect. I've been thinking about that a lot. There's been a lot more emphasis on that, I believe, as a Mariner. I mean, it's gone up 6 points this season from 27 to 33%. And how am I getting this information? Well, of course, the Pitcherless Player page is the best place for your Statcast data. And it's gorgeous and you can see everything. You should be using them, you dingus. And they're only going to get better. Oh, let me tell you, they are only going to get better.
Always.
Oh boy. Anyway, the other thing I got to say is when you change teams, you have conversations. I remember Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke talking about sliders. And if you remember the label of the MLB logo, like on the baseball, you can't throw your slider on that side of the ball to prevent the logo color being more apparent to the hitter, right? I mean, that's one example, but maybe he talked to Robbie Ray and they learned something about it. Maybe they saw a little tweak here and there. You never know. Some conversation could change things. The very least, I think the Mariners have made it more of a focus. And I think that's also part of the reason why the changeup is worse. I imagine that the changeup getting more on the side of the ball, which isn't good for a four-seamer. I imagine he's getting a little bit more on top overall, which is then amplifying the slider release, but making the changeup worse. That's my best guess for the transition of better slider, worse changeup, and more four-seamers. But who knows? I mean, hopefully we can find a Enosaurus conversation. Where he can track down Castillo and get to the bottom of it.
So maybe you let me know if you think this is kind of a fun idea or not. So this is what I used to do a lot when I was trying to really get into the nitty gritty of whether or not a pitcher had changed his grip. I'm going to let you in on my little industry secret, okay?
Ooh.
Do you know what website has the most high resolution images of a pitcher's grips in baseball?
Probably, I would say Getty Images.
100%, and people never use it. When I was working at MLB, and we started the MLB pitch class thing, and I would get a message from someone at Statcast that was like, "Has this person changed their grip?" The first thing I would do if there was no way to contact the player would go to Getty Images and take a look and try and compare their grips, you know, weeks apart. And I don't know. I don't know if this is a worthwhile exercise for you and me right now to have fun parsing through Getty Images photos. I've already started to do it.
I'm going after him right now. Your guys are asking, like, wait, hold on a second. Why are we talking about this today? It's because we got 2 days to focus on. All right. If you listen to the Plus Pitch podcast this morning, you'll hear me go through all 3 days as well. And if you don't have that, you got to get PL Plus to listen to it. You really should be. I'll be doing PL Plus stuff through the off season for the Plus Pitch cast. I am actually looking at two changeups right now for Luis Castillo.
Yeah.
And okay, one is a four seamer, one is a changeup. Okay. One is a pitch thing. But anyway, we got a shorter podcast. I don't think we're gonna go long on this one. For once. For twice. I don't know.
I know, but until I introduce this notion of trying to find out what the difference of
this is fascinating. I've never done this before. I love
what to go Getty Images?
Yeah.
I mean, listen. Maybe I don't want to bore people while we try to figure this out. What, you think you found it?
No, I got the changeup grip.
No, it's tougher to find the slider grip. He's amped up the usage a little bit since he's been in Seattle, but I have some other tricks of the trade that I can show you. By the time this podcast is over, Nick and I will have delved into whether or not there's sort of a grip change. It's also different because it's difficult to see spin access, like, right? Like, you want to be able to see if he's holding the ball in a particularly different way. There's a lot of things that you can kind of note
I'm taking a look now.
Okay.
And it's at different points in the delivery, so it's harder. I've got my magnifying glass right now. My hunter's cap? Is that what Sherlock has on?
Yeah.
It's like the thing with the flaps that he pulls up, right? Or maybe
I know what you're talking about.
I I do wonder if there's extra wrist pronation or supination.
Yeah. No.
He's twisting it back where he's pointing his thumb into his right side of his right hand, right? In Cincinnati and turning back more so. While in Seattle, it does seem like he's not doing it as much in two photos I'm seeing, but it could be later in the delivery.
Let's find two slider images first.
Yeah, sorry, let's everyone. This is exhilarating. I know.
But maybe it is. Maybe people listen to it. They want to get to the bottom of it, too. You want to talk about raw insight into what our actual process is? This is exactly what it is. So I sent you one image. I believe that's the slider, right?
That could be the four-seamer. That looks like a four-seamer.
I can't. It's difficult to tell.
It's hard because they're pretty close, four-seamer and slider. They're close enough, but I think I see too much or too little of the horseshoe. Like the index finger is too far on the left for that to be a slider.
Yeah. All right, we're never going to get to a definitive answer right now.
This is today's podcast. All right, guys. So really what's interesting is that the list today, I made it so that's 3 days. I ranked them all. We're not going to do Mondays. So that's a third of it gone because who cares? It's already 10 o'clock. Okay? I already screwed up with Bryce Elder. Jeez. Hayden Wesneski was good, but still, Bryce Elder, not so good. The second coming of Kyle Hendricks. So we're going to talk about Tuesday and Wednesday. Fast, you want to take it from there before you... Stop looking.
Sorry. Yes, we're going to take it from there. So we got four categories that we're going to get through today. Obviously, there's auto start, there's probably start, there's questionable start, and there's do not start. So I'm gonna list off every one from the auto starts. We're not going to really talk about them because they're auto starts. There's nothing to talk about. However, sure. Before we do, before Nick kills me, we're going to introduce what the theme of today is.
Oh, yeah, what is it? There's only four things today.
Exactly. And as a result, the theme is famous foursomes. Famous foursomes is.
I really dig that. Today.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was just Googling it yesterday to try and think of a good Halloween costume for the fam. So famous foursomes is going to be today.
What do you need for, Fast?
Me, Zelda, Kristen, and Tokyo.
Oh, Tokyo. By the way, really kind of your wedding to have it on a day that there is no baseball.
Yes, very, very nice. Very, very nice. Really appreciate that. Yeah, love that.
All right, so famous foursomes. All right, so you want to list off the Wednesday and Tuesday starters in order.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to skip the Mondays, like Nick said, because we've already talked about that. So so we're going Wednesday and Tuesday. Otani, Julio Urias, Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole at Texas, Carlos Rodon, Corbin Burns, Zach Gallen, Logan Gilbert against Detroit, and Framber Valdez at Philly. What's it called, and why is it called that?
It's the Beatles. It's got to be the Beatles.
Fab
Four. I mean, come on. There's no better.
Yeah.
You want to tell me that the Stones are better, that Queen is better, that whoever? No. It's the Beatles. We're done.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's an insane conversation. Really, I don't understand it. Well, is it the Beatles versus the Stones? Yeah, it's always the Beatles versus Stones. Not Led Zeppelin versus Stones. And people, I can't even believe it's any.
It's the Beatles.
It is 100% the Beatles.
Anyway. Do we have here?
What do we have? What, for the next tier?
Oh, no. All right. You listed all of them already? I completely just tuned out because I was thinking of famous foursomes. I mean, I will say a couple things about this that's very important. We don't know what's happening the next 2 days with rotations. There's a lot of craziness. If you noticed, Fast did not say Yu Darvish, did not say Max Fried, did not say Jacob deGrom. Because even though they might be listed right now as Wednesday, I do not expect them to pitch. Darvish should go game one for the Padres. They will not be fighting for the playoff spot. Why would he go Wednesday? He should be going Friday. Max Fried and DeGrom. If that's a scenario where the Mets and Atlanta are tied on the final day, then I can maybe conceive of it. At the same time, I wonder if it's in the best interest of Atlanta to not throw out Fried and take the gamble because they have so many good pitchers. And then if it doesn't go their way, you know, then fine, you have Max Fried going on game one, right?
Yeah.
So I think it'd be a very rare situation if the Mets win two, the Atlanta loses two, and then all of a sudden you have DeGrom and Fried going. It just doesn't seem right to me. So also to note there, you have Logan Gilbert, who could be going Wednesday. I don't know how the Mariners are going to plan the rotation. We know it's going to be Castillo. We know it's going to be Ray. I don't know what order, it doesn't matter. George Kirby or Gilbert as the three. the way they've set up the rotation is it seems like it's Kirby because he's going a day earlier. Yeah. So I guess they're going to start him. Or actually, Kirby goes tonight.
Yeah, tonight.
They're going to start Gilbert and then plan Kirby for Sunday.
Sorry, Kirby goes last night.
Take it off and have Gilbert fresh for any relief work that he needs. So don't really lean on that one. Framber Valdez can just do it, and who cares, because the Astros aren't playing until next week. Same with Garrett Cole. Same with Verlander, Julio Urias, Brandon Woodruff. There is Corbin Burns on Wednesday. And if the Brewers are eliminated by then, that's not an important game. I wouldn't be surprised if Milwaukee said, Burns, you know, just take it easy. All right, we don't want anything bad to happen. Gallen should be fine. McKenzie should be fine. What he went today, it doesn't matter. And Otani, there's a lot of talk about this one. I hope he does it. I think it's just too wonderful. And he should do it. So
I think they're very interested in trotting them out there as many opportunities as they can get. So, yeah. Okay. Let's move on to the probable starts. Obviously, a little bit of a larger tier here. We're, again, skipping Mondays, going through the Tuesdays and the Wednesdays. We have Taiwan Walker, Jeffrey Springs, Domingo Herman, Marco Gonzalez, Merrill Kelly, Aaron Zavalle, John Gray, Jameson Taillon, Alex Cobb, Drew Rasmussen, Adrian Sampson, Clayton Kershaw. What is it called? Why is it called that?
I think I got it. I'm trying to remember the last one though. Hold on.
I hear you frantically typing.
I know, but I have it in my head. I just want to make sure I got it right. Okay. It's the 2010 Phillies rotation. Okay. Because I mean, that's the four aces and then someone random. I don't even remember who that is, but it's Halliday, Oswalt, Cliff Lee, and Hamels, as the fearsome four of that, the foursome.
Who's the fifth?
See, that's the person who's random. That's what I tried to find out, but, I don't know.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Who's the fifth? Who cares? I mean, was it Pedro? Was Pedro in there?
Well, we have to know.
Ellen, tell us. Okay. That's what we could, because there's like some random ones in here, but there's like, yeah, all right, these are the, you know, the fours that you, you know, the guys that you feel good about. And then there's, you know, some random dude.
No, it was Joe Blanton.
Joe Blanton was the fifth?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a perfect one for probable start. Yeah.
Yeah, he made 28 starts that year. Joe Blanton.
You'd love to see it. I noted in probable start and questionable start the guys that I felt were streamable. That is sub 20% roster that I'm like, okay, like take note of these. Bryce Elder was today, and so was Hayden Wesneski today. Wesneski worked out. Elder not, unfortunately, against Miami. Come on. But Adrian Sampson is going on Wednesday, so definitely take note of that. I do want to mention Clayton Kershaw against Rocky Road. As the Dodgers said, he'd be making an abbreviated start. And I don't really know what that means.
Yeah.
So it could be 40 to 60 pitches is what I have in my head, which could mean five innings for Kershaw against Rocky Road. Let's be honest. So he's here, and there actually are a couple more I want to talk about, but first we're going to take a quick break.
Hey, Alex Fast here, and thanks for listening to this podcast on the Pitcher List Podcast Network. If you're a fan, consider supporting all of us by getting a PL Plus subscription, where you're going to get an ad-free website and get access to our Discord, where you can talk to all of our podcast hosts and staff. Plus, you can hang out with our incredible Pitcher List community. It's basically a baseball sanctuary year-round for as low as $8 a month. You can sign up at pitcherlist.com/plus, and you're going to get your first month free with promo code podcast. Also, don't forget to check out everything else we do as well, from YouTube videos, live streams, newsletters, off-season articles, TikToks, breakdowns, over 15 baseball podcasts on our network. We can't stop talking about baseball, even during the off-season. So sign up for PL Plus today at pitcherlist.com/plus and use promo code podcast to get your first month free. All right, thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show.
Pop quiz, Nick. Multiple choice. Yeah. How many, without looking, how many King Coles Okay, how many King Coles would
that
for those who are listening?
That is the highest CSW of a starting pitcher in a given day.
Yes. How many King Coles does Jeffrey Springs have in 2022? A, 3. B, 5. C, 2. D, 8.
What?
3, 5, 2, 8.
I'm going to go with 5.
5? Wrong. He has 3, which is still pretty impressive. Jeffrey Springs, obviously, working with a really...
You brought it up. I was like, I think it's 3, but like, why would he do this? So I guess...
Maybe that's, you gotta throw him off.
Zero as 1. I'm surprised he didn't throw in a 0.
I went with the 8. Either you go too big or too small. I went with the 8. Obviously, yeah. For people who are wondering, well, what does Jeffrey Springs have that's going to really be inducing that many whiffs? It's his changeup.
And change he did up, it. Baby!
He did it in that last start against the Guardians. He picked up 9 whiffs, 4 called strikes on the pitch. That's really what's been kind of leading the charge for him. He really kind of mopped the floor against the Guardians in that most recent start. And even that last start against Tampa, which wasn't really fantastic, 5 innings with 3 earned runs, 4 total runs. Again, 9 whiffs on the changeup, 4 called strikes on the changeup. Even if you go back to the start before that against Texas, he goes up to 11 whiffs on the changeup, 10 whiffs on the changeup before that. You have to go all the way back to the beginning of September before you can find a start where he got fewer than 5 whiffs on that changeup. I imagine you're just really digging that upside against Boston.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's just been cruising. Did you know that Jeffrey Springs is a 2.45 ERA this year and a 107 whip and a 26% K rate? You're going to see a lot of random tweets that include, like, Jeffrey Springs as the other one, you know?
Yeah. You're gonna I think have, the like, problem is Jeffrey Springs has problems with the other ones. Isn't that what he...
Hey! Oh, that was well done.
Because he's a garbage person?
I am so proud of you.
Yeah, because he's a garbage human being? Okay, sorry.
Yep, okay. So you're going to see things like, how many pitchers had a 15% plus swing strike rate and a sub 6% walk rate and a ERA under 250 with 130 innings? Jeffrey Springs. You know, you're going to see stuff like that in this offseason. The question to me... is, I mean, the changeup is really good. 23% swing strike rate this year. Almost a 70% strike rate. I want to believe it's a peak. I mean, it's really hard to maintain those levels of success on any pitch, really. A no-swing of 50%. I remember we were freaking out about Hyunjin Ryu's change of 54%, right? It's not easy to sustain this stuff. So I do think there's going to be some decline there. And is the four-seamer going to be, I mean, is he going to do this Blake Snell blueprint, you know, four-seamers up, changeups down? He has a slider that does fine. I mean, gets a lot of strikes, 67% strike rate, but 27% hard contact. Not this elite pitch in my view. So I don't know. Next year, Jeffrey Springs kind of interesting. This year, he's in an obvious groove, yeah. And you just can't stop throwing him right now.
Let's talk a little bit more about one of the other guys that you have a little bit higher up on the list, and Marco Gonzalez. I mean, obviously going up against a weaker offense in Detroit, no doubt about it that they've sputtered the entire year, didn't, you know, really meet expectations. But Gonzalez has really not been good in his past couple starts. You have to go, you know, there's only been one start where he's had fewer than 3 earned runs. He got hit pretty hard against Texas. Got hit a little bit against Kansas City. Obviously, strikeouts never really going to be his game, but also he hasn't thrown more than 80 pitches in his past 2 starts. Isn't there a little bit of volatility here? Tigers be damned.
But it's Detroit.
It was also Texas and Kansas City.
It's not Detroit. It's Detroit. I mean, I know they're better against lefties than the righties, but you got to do it. You got to do it.
Okay. The next person that we should talk a little bit about is a guy that we've kind of, you know, hit upon recently, you know, struggling with a lot of injury over the course of the year, but has now made 3 back-to-back-to-back starts for without hitting the IL, which is a nice accomplishment. I think it's only happened like twice for him this year. And Aaron Civale, you know, returns on the 20th of September, picks up 2 earned runs over 5 innings with 1 walk and 2 Ks. Yeah, maybe it's a little bit of a still ill against a, you know, tougher Chicago White Sox team, but then he comes back against Texas, picks up 7 Ks and no walks with 8 whiffs on that curveball, which is exactly what you want to be seeing from Aaron Civale. Every time I look at an Aaron Civale stat line, I want to be able to see that many whiffs on curves. Obviously, you want to be able to see whiffs on curves no matter what, but you want it. That's that money pitch for him. What are you thinking about Aaron Civale?
I mean, to me, it's always about cutter plus curveball usage inside of a start. If you see over 65%, that is two-thirds of his pitches, cutters and curveballs, things are going to be good. He's done that in the last two starts. It's what you want to see. Yeah, I'm feeling good about him against, I believe it's Kansas City. Yeah, he gets him again.
Yep.
Aaron Civale should be good to go.
I think, you know, there's one or two more people that want to hit upon in this tier. The next one, a draft darling for you coming into the 2022 season, obviously a little bit plagued by injury over the course of the year, only ended up making, you know, throwing about 120 innings with a, okay, 3.93 ERA, and that's John Gray. Hit pretty hard against Seattle, and now you're saying, hey, let's throw him to the Wolves, the Yankees? You're just thinking maybe they're not going to start a lot of these guys?
Well, okay, so this is, okay, two things. One, this is the probable start tier, which means it's not a lock. He's not an auto start. If John Gray were going against an easier team, he would be an auto start. That said, John Gray, last two starts have been about 95 and not 96. I'm not ready to write off everything and just say, oh no, now he got hit hard, six earned runs. Keep in mind the one before that, zero runs over five innings. Wasn't at his peak, but he still got through it. Slider was much better in that start against the Yankees as well. I think I was not against the Yankees, the Mariners as well. I think I'm doing it. If I have John Gray, I'm throwing him out there. I will say John Gray is so fascinating to me. 115 whip, 26% K rate this year. He has so much potential, and it took a while for him to get going. It wasn't until midway through the season they started really throwing 96 plus. I remember a game we had 98 on his fastball, and I freaked out. And then of course injury hit because things are stupid. Oh God, it was so annoying. I mean, I want 180 innings of John Gray, and oh, it's gonna be so beautiful. I'm gonna be able to draft him. I don't know. Look, next week is the week of 150 starting pitchers. That's going to be a long podcast. All right.
Yeah.
Fast. That's going to be one where I'm going to tell you, we're going to make up some time here.
I'm going to get a divorce.
All right. The worst.
I'm going to get a divorce. I said.
It's the one. It's like your last one for a while, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll do some nabs or something. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll get it.
But anyway, John Gray is going to be an interesting topic of discussion then. I don't know where I'm going to have him next year, but I think, next week. I think I'm starting him if I have John Gray.
I can't wait until, you know, we're in our 60s, 70s, and we're sitting at a bar watching a baseball game, and we're sloshed, and I'm like, hey, Nick, do you remember the name of the dude that led the Cubs in ERA in 2022 with a minimum 100 innings? And you're going to say, are you talking about
Adrian Sampson?
Are you talking about Adrian Sampson? And I'm going to say, yeah, baby, I'm talking about Adrian Sampson. Adrian Sampson has a 3.10 ERA, which, as we said, leads the Cubs. Also very surprising, there isn't a single Cub starter who has thrown over 100 innings that has an ERA above 3.69, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. Yeah. But Adrian Sampson, he's been better than people think. Not if you're looking at the CSW, not if you're looking at the K rate, not if you're looking at the swinging strike rate. But the ERA and the whip have been really, really good, which is why you probably have to really dig him, even though he's going into the Lions den in Cincinnati.
I mean, it's insane. The last seven starts for Adrian Sampson is a 1.6 ERA in a 1.04 whip. That said, over 39 innings. So that includes a 3.1 game, five in there. But the last five have been at least six innings against Cincinnati, the Mets, the Marlins, the Pirates, and the Reds. So, you know, four of those were pushovers. And what do you know? He gets one more pushover to end the season. So why the heck not? Let's go, Adrian Sampson. Are you doing this for strikeouts? No. He said just one game above four strikeouts in those seven games. That was six last week with a 7% swing strike rate. So yeah, you're not going into this for any sort of strikeout potential. Still, this should be a productive outing for you against a bad offense. I'm not too worried about the home run chance in Cincy. I think you go ahead and do it for Adrian.
All right.
Sampson.
You already hit upon Kershaw, so that kind of wraps up this tier. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the questionable starts here. So start to get that noodle cooking. We're talking Cal Quantrill, Tony Gonsolin. Oh, excuse me. Cal Quantrill, Tony Gonsolin went yesterday. Dakota Hudson, Eric Lauer, Jake Odorizzi, Nathan Eovaldi, Lucas Giolito, Michael Lorenzen, Graham Ashcraft, Javier Assad, Eduardo Rodriguez, Cole Irvin, Johan Oviedo, Jordan Lyles, Luis Sessa, Braxton Garrett, and Sean Manaea. What famous foursome are we talking about here?
There's so many ways I can go with this stuff. Okay. I'm going to go with the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Oh, why?
Because the end is nigh, and you're trying to choose the right ones to survive.
The four horsemen, wouldn't it be the end is nigh? Nick?
I love it best.
Nick? Oh my gosh, Nick, are you okay?
It's that podcast, guys. It's the last one of the year. The roles get reversed.
This might be the first delirious Alex we've gotten in 343 episodes. People might be listening to me like, is he drunk?
Your vows. Sitting there next to our mutual friend that we didn't realize we were mutual friends with. And seeing your wife say, oh, and I love everything about you. Yes, your dad jokes. And I sat there so betrayed. So unbelievably let down. Et tu, Brute?
Et tu, Brute?
Unbelievable. Here, everybody sees it.
Yeah.
You're exposed. You're vulnerable.
Oh my God, turned my camera off. I didn't realize I exposed myself to you.
But yes, four horsemen. Okay.
Yes, four horsemen. Dakota Hudson, the first person that we want to talk about, kind of what we mentioned with Marco Gonzalez in the past, and that not really going to get a lot of strikeouts from him, but you're probably going to be able to, I don't know, maybe keep your ERA down a little bit because he's going against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's Dakota Hudson. Last game was 45 pitches, but it was in relief.
Yeah.
And he started before that for 102 pitches. I have a belief that even though you see 45 pitches, you think, oh, he's not stretched out. That's not, he's not good to go or anything. No, he's still throwing and everything. They're going to let him go 75 pitches. That's what he did against Cincinnati. The last time he went, August 30th, Dakota Hudson should be able to go five innings here against a very weak Pittsburgh lineup. It's not my favorite thing. If I really liked it, I'd put him in probable start. But looking at this list of, oh boy, and oh boy, I felt Dakota Hudson has a good win chance, good opportunity to keep your ERA down.
Yeah, it's so funny to look at this part of the list and be like, man, we're looking at Lauer, Odorizzi, Nathan Eovaldi, and Lucas Giolito, and we're in the questionable starts. And if that doesn't let you know how 2022 has gone for a lot of these guys, then I don't know what does. At least, Lucas Giolito was able to get you a quality start in his penultimate start against Detroit. But his last start was against Minnesota, two earned runs over five with three walks, six Ks. Wonder if there's any back-to-back madness for him. Is that why you're leaning towards it? Or is it the fact that he's got a 5 ERA on the year?
I really think he limped through that start. Four-seamers down to 90.8 miles per hour. Terrible command on it. Change-up and slider. Did have good CSW marks, but I think it was some great and then some terrible with the pitch. I don't think that if he throws like that again, he'll have the same beneficial results for you. So I'm very cautious here. That said, we've seen him go from sub 91 to flirting with 92 in the next one. Maybe he has better command of his stuff. So there's still potential, but it's not looking great for Lucas Giolito.
Talk to me about why Michael Lorenzen is not in the tier above, considering that the changeup is still very good. He just recorded 10 whiffs with that changeup against the same Oakland team he's about to face. He's picked up, six or more Ks, gone five innings each in his past three starts, yet you're still on the fence.
So since June 11th, so seven starts he's had since then, only one of them has been below a 120 whip, and he has not gone six innings in any of them. I feel his general stuff is mediocre. I am glad that he got eight strikeouts last time. He looked good against Oakland. We've seen Oakland mess guys up at times. He's also walked at least two in all of those starts, had three in that last one. We're playing with fire a little bit here, and it's not a lock as it might seem for Michael Lorenzen against Oakland.
Graham Ashcraft, you look at the Chicago matchup and you think, okay. And then you realize that he just got burned real bad by Chicago. Wasn't even able to get out of the third, 67 pitches thrown. Just kind of didn't have the feel for any of his pitches, which, you know, is not necessarily like him. This is a guy with a sub-6 walk rate, top 50 in terms of walk rate, elite fastball velocity. Really good at getting ground balls, just wasn't able to pull it together against Chicago. Are you kind of aiming for a bounce back in this back-to-back starting at Chicago?
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, I think this is around the point of this, right at Ashcraft. It's the second half of these ranks. Like Quantrill through Keller, probably Rich Hill. I don't know how Rich Hill did tonight. And below are the okay. All right, I don't really want to do this, but okay, here they are. Well, I would say, you know what, maybe Eovaldi. Even though he's throwing sub-94, he made it work last time. Odorizzi, last two starts have been bad, but then against Miami, maybe he does get it back together. Lauer's fastball coming in was terrible, and he got lucky, I think, against Miami. It's harder against the Diamondbacks. That could work. You know, and Cal Quantrill is your Toby of the year. He is going to win the Flenderson, as he has like a 3.5 ERA and a 1.24 whip or something, and it's just 16% strikeout. I'm like, yep, that's your Toby of the year. But Ashcraft, we know the possibility here. We know it can work. I mean, he throws like 99 on a cutter. You know, yeah. This should be able to work. Sure, it didn't work out last time against the Cubs. That doesn't mean that it can't at all on Wednesday.
Speaking of should be able to work and very good fastball velocity, Johan Oviedo, a guy that you seem to have been interested in the past couple of starts, really, you know, pumping in 97 again against the Cardinals in that most recent start. Got the quality start, but not too great. 2 walks, 4 Ks, 2 earned runs, 6 hits over 6. You thinking maybe kind of struggles back-to-back against St. Louis, especially with this is a Wednesday game, so a St. Louis squad that's likely going to rest a lot of their players.
Yeah, that is a possibility, and that is something to consider with, say, the Atlanta resting their guys for Braxton Garrett, who we'll talk about in a second. That may raise him in my daily rankings. And by the way, of course, Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm not just going to blindly take what I have right now and copy and paste. I'm going to be looking at what has happened. Maybe things are different for those days like that. But Oviedo is volatile. I'm glad that he's looked better recently. That 7-inning start against the Cubs was the first, sigh of relief. Like, oh, finally, he's actually doing things that I was hoping to see out of him. He was acquired in that Jose Quintana deal, by the way. That's why he's starting for the Pirates all of a sudden and not in relief. He did well against the Cardinals, but I think his command was kind of all over the place. And he has good stuff, but he doesn't have command. 6% yeah. Swing strike rate on the four-seamer as well is a little startling when you throw 96 miles per hour. The Cardinals have also messed up Ortiz and Contreras recently. So, and you're wondering, wait a second, wasn't it the weekend and they're still playing the Cardinals? Yeah, it's like 6 games in a row. The Cardinals yeah. against the Pirates. The same thing for Rocky Road and the Dodgers. It's because we had to add on 3 more games just how it worked. But, oh boy, they must be sick of each other by Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oviedo is a cherry bomb start. It's a real dart throw here. I think the peak is what we saw with the 7 innings and not something we should expect with regularity yet.
Okay. You hit the nail on the head. Is Braxton Garrett just a guy where you're checking what Atlanta's lineup is a couple hours before and then making the call?
Yeah, I think you can push him up the ranks if Atlanta is feeling good about it. The thing is, they did not clinch it, I don't think, tonight. The Marlins were up last time I checked, which would mean that the Mets was doubleheader tomorrow, now rained out tonight. So no celebrating for Atlanta, which means that Braxton Garrett's going to see a good lineup, likely.
Yeah.
And maybe it's I don't actually know when that game starts. Maybe it's looking at tomorrow, there's a doubleheader at 4:45, I believe, and that's 4 o'clock. The Marlins game starts at 6:40. If the Nationals are destroying the Mets or something, maybe we'll see that, but I doubt it. I doubt that's what will happen. So you'll like to see Braxton Garrett against a tough Atlanta team. And even though that slider has been looking better, I might want to push up Sean Manaea above it. Even though Sean Manaea has been really shaky, say for his last start where he had an opener and he finally did okay. But man, I don't trust that slider being a 63% CSW again. I think that's just ridiculous. So Braxton Garrett and Sean Manaea are guys I'd like to avoid if I can, but I recognize that Garrett has a good slider. If that is working, maybe he can escape a start against Atlanta.
All right, let's move on to the final tier of the night, the do not start tier. We're talking Nick Pivetta, Bailey Falter at Houston, Glenn Otto, Tyler Alexander, Ken Waldichuk, Davis Martin, Mitch White, Louis Varland, Andre Pallante, Ranger Suarez, Josh Winder, Garrett Hill, Yusei Kikuchi, Eliezer Hernandez, Daniel Lynch at Cleveland, Bryce Wilson, Paolo Espino, Jonathan Heasley, Eric Fetty, Chad Kuhl, Mike Bauman, Ryan Feltner, Chris Flexen, Spencer Howard, all those TBD Atlanta Mets and Padres pitchers, and the I think that's the last one. That's a lot of them. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm gonna call it 98 degrees.
Were they a four or a three?
Oh, they were a four. You cannot have a boy band with a three.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, come on. That's heresy.
Okay.
Because you know, among all of these do not starts, you know, there's going to be a Nick Lachey.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Sure.
All right, but you don't know anyone else on that. You think there's even three people, and there are four. Okay. All right.
Let's sashay on over to our potential Lacheys. And see if we can find who the good Lacheys are here, and see who the ones that we cherish are, because I do cherish you.
Okay, are you looking up 98 degrees now? Is that why?
No. I remember I do cherish you. It was that, and I think Give Me One More Night was their other big hit. And then what was their third one?
There's something about heat in there, I think.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That tracks.
I mean, 98 degrees is just like normal. I'm not influencing you at all. Like, you're just normal in front of me.
Yeah, that's true. 98 degrees. You are a standard human being.
Hey, great. You're not sick.
Yeah. You are a 98.6 degree.
Unlike me. Sorry.
Unlike me. So, this is what we're going to do. You can only pick one, and I'm going to see if we can go through them. Bailey Falter coming off a fantastic start against Washington, likely going to face a Houston squad that is not starting anyone on Wednesday. Is Bailey Falter our Nick Lachey?
No. I mean, see, that's the thing, though. I don't know if I'm really going to see a lot of, or we are going to see a lot of bad lineups on Wednesday.
Why not?
I think, well
maybe
know.
Not for Houston, because they won't start actually for another week.
Right, and they want to keep guys fresh and everything like that, right? I think it's more important for teams to keep guys playing a lot. Maybe you'll see like one guy take a rest or something along those lines. But I think this is a really tough start for Bailey Falter. He's done really well against weak teams, and I think that's given us a grander impression of what he does. You know, he's taken down the Cubs, and he's taken down the Marlins and the Nationals. Like, fine, this is the Astros. Be very careful with this.
Okay, what was it? Tyler Alexander.
I've got sneaky ones. Tyler Alexander isn't so bad.
Okay? Is he our Nick Lachey?
No.
Okay.
My Nick Lachey.
You can't say it yet.
I know. I'm just. I can't get over the fact that we're calling this my Nick Lachey. It's like I'm giving him a rose or something.
Yeah. Tyler Alexander's only given up 4 earned runs in his last 18 innings.
Yeah, I still feel like you're going to be shorthanded if you go with T-Lex. That's against your Orioles, your White Sox, and the Twins. It is against Seattle now. You could say maybe Seattle will take it easy on Wednesday because they have the divisional series in 2 days. I just don't think Tyler Alexander does enough. Sure, he had a 16% swing strike rate last time, but the previous two starts were all underneath 10%. He has an 8.5 on the year. Yeah, I don't really think this is a good play.
Is Davis Martin coming off of a 103 pitch outing with no walks and 8 Ks thanks to 10 whiffs on his slider? Is he our Nick Lachey?
He is our Nick Lachey.
Wow.
Ding, ding, ding.
End the podcast. Stop it right here.
There it is. No, I have no idea. I mean, I think that's pretty cool that the slider is good. I remember the first time I saw Davis Martin, I thought to myself, oh man, that slider is a legitimate one. And as long as he can get strikes with everything else, he should be okay, which is something I've said about another pitcher on his team a lot. But And that last start felt like a Dylan Cease start, with those sliders down and glove side consistently, with fastballs finding the zone a lot around 95 miles per hour. This stuff could work. This was against the Padres here. That's going to be a little bit tougher against the Twins. But yeah, I think this might be the sneaky Nick Lachey start. It's in the do not start tier, everybody, okay? I'm not telling you to go and pick up Davis Martin, but if you really need a Hail Mary, why don't I have him ranked at the top? Because I think the other ones have a higher floor and higher chance of hitting the floor or above it. But Davis Martin is the wild card Hail Mary play.
All right. If Davis Martin is our Nick Lachey, then Mitch White is our Drew Lachey, who was his brother, who was in the band. No real need to
dig into him. There were brothers in the band?
Yeah.
And oh my gosh,
Drew Lachey, therapist. Yeah, seriously, because yeah,
oh, man.
There's a lot of other kind of, you know, stuff to sort through here. Louis Varland, not really interested.
Hey, Waldichuk's kind of interesting.
Yeah, Waldichuk's maybe
okay fastballs and stuff.
That's nice. I mean, could you make any case for Ranger Suarez whatsoever? I mean,
against Houston, he did well against the Giants.
He did well against Atlanta. Against
the other weak opponents he had, but I don't really think that Ranger Suarez is pitching into his best. Andre Pallante, you're wondering, where's Jack Flaherty? Wednesday right now, it looks like it's Andre Pallante, which doesn't surprise me, because why wouldn't you save Jack Flaherty for that divisional series in some fashion? So Pallante's going. He could go five innings against the Pirates. I don't know. I mean, there's so many starts you should not be making down here. You know, I mean, the second half is just absolutely just go away. You saw Miles Michaelis here because it was clear that it would be Quintana and Michaelis doubling up today. He went about three innings. But is there anyone that you feel like, oh, Nick, what are you doing here? Why is he here?
Not what are you doing here. I mean, I think there's like, I don't think Josh Winder is the worst necessary option.
He's
if you're
the worst.
Like extremely.
He's above, I'd say Yusei Kikuchi is like the
the cutoff
cliff of just like, please go away.
Yeah. Yeah. There's really
I'm not
nothing
starting
below.
Josh Winder, you know?
No. Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at the rest of this list. I mean, gosh. Yeah.
I mean,
it's
Josh
really
Winder,
tough.
Last four starts, only one of them has gone five innings or more. And that was a poor quality start against Kansas City. So 300 runs, six innings, seven base runners, four Ks. Like, that's a 4.5 ERA, 117 whip, and a 16% K rate. Like, all right.
Yeah. Just
that was
looking
a good one.
And behind that, too, there's really just like, I mean, I don't think Bauman is very exciting because he's not going to probably go past the fifth and he can't strike out anyone. So it's sparse.
Yeah, it's pretty sparse. So, moral of the story, go after all this stuff. I mean, there are a lot of under-rostered ones. I would say from the questionable starts here, Dakota Hudson, Jigo Derizzi, Michael Lorenzen, Graham Ashcraft, Javier Assad, who we didn't talk about, maybe has his cutter and slider working against Cincinnati. Cole Irvin maybe could work against the Angels. As I mentioned, Oviedo. Luis Sessa's slider maybe works against the Cubs. And that I mentioned, Braxton Garrett are all under-rostered. Adrian Sampson is the only one left for Wednesday as Elder and Wesneski went today. Wesneski worked out. So see, clearly listen to me. Just don't listen to Elder. but yeah, fast we did it. It's like 46 minutes, 47 minutes, something like that.
That's a thing of beauty. We did it, Nick. We did episode number 343 of On the Court.
The official one of the 2022 season.
Yeah, because next week we hit it off strong with 150 starting pitchers. You better get to work. You better no sleep.
I'm going. I'm doing like an all day 10 o'clock till it's done stream. I think.
I love it. Do it.
Yeah.
And then we'll be there next Monday to talk about it. No eating
before. I'm like, I gotta
eat baseball. No
just
eating.
Eat baseball. Well, okay. All right.
That's your sustenance.
I'll see what I can do.
All right. Well, that is going to do it then for episode number 343 of On the Court of the official PitcherList.com podcast. I'm your host, Alex Fast.
And I'm Nick Pollock, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.